No, that isn't true, he told himself. They need me, and if I fail, there might not be any home to return to. But he did not believe it. In his conscious mind, he knew it was true, but in other places, deeper places, he doubted that they needed him. Mazur's urgency was just another trick, just another way to make me do what they want me to do, another way to keep me from resting, from doing nothing for a long, long time. Then the enemy formation appeared, and Ender's weariness turned to despair. The enemy outnumbered him 1,000 to 1. The simulator glowed green with them. They were grouped in 12 different formations, shifting positions, changing shapes, moving in seemingly random patterns through the simulator field. He could not find a path through them. A space that seemed open would close suddenly, and another appear, and a formation that seemed penetrable would suddenly change and be forbidding. The planet was at the far edge of the field, and for all Ender knew, there were just as many enemy ships beyond it, out of the simulator's range. As for his own fleet, it consisted of 20 starships, each with only 4 fighters. He knew the 4-fighter starships. They were old-fashioned, sluggish, and the range of their little doctors was half that of the newer ones. 80 fighters against at least 5,000, perhaps 10,000 enemy ships. He heard his squadron leaders breathing heavily. He could also hear from the observers behind him a quiet curse. It was nice to know that one of the adults noticed that it wasn't a fair test. Not that it made any difference. Fairness wasn't part of the game. That was plain. There was no attempt to give him even a remote chance at success. All that I've been through, and they never meant to let me pass at all. He saw in his mind Bonzo and his vicious little knot of friends confronting him, threatening him. He had been able to shame Bonzo into fighting him alone. That would hardly work here. And he could not surprise the enemy with his ability as he had done with the older boys in the battle room. Mazur knew Ender's abilities inside and out. The observers behind him began to cough, to move nervously. They were beginning to realize that Ender didn't know what to do. I don't care anymore, thought Ender. You can keep your game. If you won't even give me a chance, why should I play? Like his last game in battle school when they put 2 armies against him. And just as he remembered that game, apparently Bean remembered it too, for his voice came over the headset saying, "Remember, the enemy's gate is down." Molo, Soup, Vlad, Dumper, and Crazy Tom all laughed. They remembered too. And Ender also laughed. It was funny. The adults taking all this so seriously, and the children playing along, believing it too, until suddenly the adults went too far, tried too hard, and the children could see through their game. Forget it, Mazur. I don't care if I pass your test. I don't care if I follow your rules. If you can cheat, so can I. I won't let you beat me unfairly. I'll beat you unfairly first. In that final battle in battle school, he had won by ignoring the enemy, ignoring his own losses. He had moved against the enemy's gate. And the enemy's gate was down. If I break this rule, they'll never let me be a commander. It would be too dangerous. I'll never have to play a game again. And that is victory. He whispered quickly into the microphone. His commanders took their parts of the fleet and grouped themselves into a thick projectile. A cylinder aimed at the nearest of the enemy formations. The enemy, far from trying to repel him, welcomed him in so he could be thoroughly entrapped before they destroyed him. Mazur is at least taking into account the fact that by now they would have learned to respect me, thought Ender, and that does buy me time. Ender dodged downward, north, east, and down again, not seeming to follow any plan, but always ending up a little closer to the enemy planet. Finally, the enemy began to close in on him too tightly. Then, suddenly, Ender's formation burst. His fleet seemed to melt into chaos. The 80 fighters seemed to follow no plan at all, firing at enemy ships at random, working their way into hopeless individual paths among the bugger craft. After a few minutes of battle, however, Ender whispered to his squadron leaders once more, and suddenly 12 of the remaining fighters formed again into a formation. But now they were on the far side of one of the enemy's most formidable groups. They had, with terrible losses, passed through, and now they had covered more than half the distance to the enemy's planet. "The enemy sees now," thought Ender. "Surely Mazer sees what I'm doing, or perhaps Mazer cannot believe that I would do it. Well, so much the better for me." Ender's tiny fleet darted this way and that, sending two or three fighters out as if to attack, then bringing them back. The enemy closed in, drawing in ships and formations that had been widely scattered, bringing them in for the kill. The enemy was most concentrated beyond Ender, so he could not escape back into open space, closing him in. "Excellent," thought Ender. "Closer. Come closer." Then he whispered a command, and the ships dropped like rocks toward the planet's surface. They were starships and fighters, completely unequipped to handle the heat of passage through an atmosphere, but Ender never intended them to reach the atmosphere. Almost from the moment they began to drop, they were focusing their little doctors on one thing only: the planet itself. 1, 2, 4... 7 of his fighters were blown away. It was all a gamble now whether any of his ships would survive long enough to get in range. It would not take long once they could focus on the planet's surface. "Just a moment with Dr. Device, that's all I want." It occurred to Ender that perhaps the computer wasn't even equipped to show what would happen to a planet if the little doctor attacked it. "What will I do then? Shout, 'Bang, you're dead'?" Ender took his hands off the controls and leaned in to watch what happened. The perspective was close to the enemy planet now, as the ship hurtled into its well of gravity. "Surely it's in range now," thought Ender. "It must be in range, and the computer can't handle it." Then, the surface of the planet, which filled half the simulator field now, began to bubble. There was a gout of explosion, hurling debris out toward Ender's fighters. Ender tried to imagine what was happening inside the planet, the field growing and growing, the molecules bursting apart but finding nowhere for the separate atoms to go. Within 3 seconds, the entire planet burst apart, becoming a sphere of bright dust hurtling outward. Ender's fighters were among the first to go. Their perspective suddenly vanished, and now the simulator could only display the perspective of the starships waiting beyond the edges of the battle. It was as close as Ender wanted to be. The sphere of the exploding planet grew outward faster than the enemy ships could avoid it, and it carried with it the little doctor, not so little anymore, the field taking apart every ship in its path, erupting each one into a dot of light before it went on. Only at the very periphery of the simulator did the MD field weaken. Two or three enemy ships were drifting away. Ender's own starships did not explode, but where the vast enemy fleet had been, and the planet they protected, there was nothing meaningful. A lump of dirt was growing as gravity drew much of the debris downward again. It was glowing hot and spinning visibly. It was also much smaller than the world had been before. Much of its mass was now a cloud still flowing outward. Ender took off his headphones, filled with the cheers of his squadron leaders, and only then realized that there was just as much noise in the room with him. Men in uniform were hugging each other, laughing, shouting. Others were weeping. Some knelt or lay prostrate, and Ender knew they were caught up in prayer. Ender didn't understand. It seemed all wrong. They were supposed to be angry. Colonel Graff detached himself from the others and came to Ender. Tears streamed down his face, but he was smiling. He bent over, reached out his arms, and to Ender's surprise, he embraced him, held him tightly, and whispered, "Thank you. Thank you, Ender. Thank God for you, Ender."